Amen. Thank you so much. Boys and girls, you can be dismissed to go to your class. Loran, what's the Romanian word for grace?
Haru.
Haru, start with an H. Grace, grace, God's grace. Thank you so much for that. I thoroughly enjoyed that. I appreciate that so very much. Tonight, you want to be here, we're going to look at a concert at Jerusalem. One of the most unusual concerts that I think that I've heard of, and maybe you have, but I think that it'll be a blessing to you. I want to look at some thoughts tonight about music and the proper use of music in the house of God, and look at what happened in Jerusalem there as they finished the walls and they sang. But this morning we want to look at generations of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 in your Bibles, please. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at three verses, and we'll be going looking at some Old Testament scripture as well that relate to these three verses. Generations of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, I want to start with verse 21. And I'm sorry, start with verse 20. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 20, it says, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray as we look at your word and look at these generations of faith, Lord, that you would encourage us and challenge us, that we might pass our faith to the next generation, and they might be a generation raised up to again serve you and love you in this place. Bless the word now to our hearts, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beginning with Abraham, and we've looked at a couple of different messages, three different messages about Abraham and Sarah. But here in these few verses, between starting in verse 8 down through verse 22, we see four generations of faith. We see four men, and of course Sarah's mentioned there as well, but four generations of faith. Four generations that each passed down to the next generation the faith that they had in the Jehovah God of Israel. Each one passing that faith down generation after generation. Just quickly looking back at Abraham, that Abraham came from a society that was pagan, anti-God, and he loved God. And God told him, and back in Genesis chapter 12, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house to a land that I will show thee." And Abraham obeyed and went out, not knowing where he was going, but he obeyed God by faith. He obeyed God. By faith, he left his country. By faith, he left his family in Haran there in the north and came down to Israel. By faith, he served God, even in Israel, that was inhabited by the heathen of the land that day all about him. By faith, he served God. And then we see, as we look, we see Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph are mentioned here. Each one serves God by faith. Now, these were not generations that were without failures, problems, difficulties. Because that, you know, I'm glad when the Bible records the lives of these people that it doesn't record a perfect individual doing things perfectly all the time. Because that'd be pretty disappointing to us, because I don't know about you, but I am not a perfect individual doing things perfectly all the time. But we'll mention this again at the end. But they were men who were headed in the right direction. And that is the big test. What direction are you headed in with your life? What direction are you headed in your relationship with Christ? Where are you going? And so we see here generations of faith. We want to first look at Isaac in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. We come to Genesis chapter 27, and we know the account, you've probably heard it before, of Isaac and how Jacob had bought the birthright from Esau for a mess of pottage, and that made Esau unhappy. And then it came time for the blessing, and Abraham thought he was going to die. He lived many years after that, but he thought he was going to die, and so he said, it's time for me to give the blessing to the next generation. And so he told Esau, go out and get some venison and make me some of that stew that I just love. And when I have that, then and I'll give the blessing. And of course, we know that Jacob's mother and Jacob deceived him. And Isaac blessed Jacob. And Esau came in at the end and found that Jacob had received the blessing. And Esau, of course, in the end said, well, Jacob, when dad's dead, I'm going to kill you. But I want you to consider the blessings. Genesis chapter 27 in our Bibles, if you would, please. Back in Genesis chapter 27, Hebrews 11:20 says, By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Look at the blessing. This is the blessing for Jacob. Genesis 27, verse 28. He says, therefore God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. Let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee and blessed be he that blesseth thee. He gave Jacob a great blessing, a blessing of prosperity, a blessing of leadership, a blessing of protection. And of course, Esau came in to the scene. And his cry to his father is really just heart-wrenching. If we see there in Genesis chapter 27 and verse 38, I think it is. Esau said to his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Even Esau, who was the carnal of the two, who saw little value in spiritual things, when it came the time that he was going to receive from his father that which was to see him through the remainder of his life, was brokenhearted. He says, he lifted up his voice and wept. He says, isn't there anything left for me? Because you see, the blessing that Isaac gave to Jacob is the blessing that he thought he was giving to his firstborn, to Esau. But instead, Jacob received it. But starting in verse 39 of that chapter, we see the blessing on Esau. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. And by the sword shalt thou live, and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. A very different blessing from the blessing that Jacob received. But there's one thing I want you to notice in this blessing, the word shalt and shall. You see, that even though the circumstances of these blessings were not what we would expect, It's not what Jacob and Esau expected. It certainly is not what Isaac expected. But we see that the blessing of God was not determined by circumstances, but by rather the promise of God. For he says, thou shalt, thy dwelling shall be, by the sword thou shalt live, it shall come to pass. But see, it was not determined by the circumstances, but rather the promise of God and the will of God. These are unconditional promises. You know, if we look at the scripture, we see that God has promised us, has some things he's promised us unconditionally. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, salvation is not a conditional promise based on what we are able to do to keep our salvation. It's not based on us living a good life, if you will. Now, I believe if we're saved, we'll want to do right things. We'll want to follow Christ. But we see that God promises us, even as God promised through Isaac to Jacob and Esau, the blessing. And this was a big important thing in these days as they look to the next generation. But we see that in this, there are two very different responses to the blessing. Jacob, although he's still working, he still is going to go through a lot of things as he draws closer to God. But Esau never made that journey. Esau never made the choices that were necessary that God might work in his heart, that God might prosper him, that God might use him. After the death of Esau, we see very little else about him in Scripture. But Jacob, of course, goes up to Haran. There he prospers. He meets God at Bethel on the way up and on the way back. And God blesses him. He becomes Israel. Rather than his name being a deceiver, or trickster is what Jacob means, he became Israel, Prince of God. And God used him, and through Jacob we see the 12 tribes of Israel. And we see a nation that God would raise up through him, but through Esau, we see nomadic tribes that, again, there's been conflict down through the centuries. You see, Isaac gave a blessing, but it was up to the two boys what they did with it. And it's interesting that these two, like Cain and Abel, raised in the same home, raised by the same standards, raised with the same outlook and perspective in the home. We know Cain rose up and killed Abel. We know that Esau threatens to kill Jacob, and later, of course, they are reconciled, but Esau never does anything we know of for God. Choices. Choices. We can give to the next generation, but the next generation makes a choice on what you do with it. Young people here this morning, you've been given a great blessing by being born into the family you were born in, by being able to be in a church like this church, some of you for all of your lives, to live in a country like we live in, that we have the freedom to worship as we please, the freedom to tell others about Christ. We haven't been given, even though we have not been given a formal blessing like Isaac gave to Jacob and Esau, we have been blessed. The question is, what are you going to do with the blessings that God has given you? Are you going to be a Jacob or an Esau? Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. We You see, a lot of things take place historically between verse 20 and verse 21. Sons are born. They're raised. Joseph is sold down to Egypt, and famine comes, and Jacob and his family, through a lot of circumstances, move down to Egypt, and they live there in Egypt in a land called Goshen, and there they begin to grow and to thrive and become a nation there, and learn the skills of nation building in Egypt. And then it comes time for Jacob to die. By faith, Jacob, verse 21, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Jacob knew he was going to die. He was a lot more accurate in his prediction than his father was. Abraham lived a long time. I mean, Isaac lived a long time after he gave the blessing to Jacob and Esau. But Jacob died shortly after this. We see Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph. Again, I find this family dynamic quite interesting. Joseph, of course, went down to Egypt. There he married an Egyptian lady. And there he, of course, had a prominent position in government. And his sons were raised in a circumstance where their father was probably the second or third most important man in Egypt. They were raised in luxury. They were raised probably separated from the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But it comes time now for Jacob that he knows he's going to die, and he's concerned about his grandsons, Joseph's sons. Let me read. It's from Genesis 48, verse 15 down through verse 22. Genesis 48 and verse 15. It says, and he, of course this is Jacob, blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know it. He also shall be a great people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Verse 21, and Israel said to Joseph, behold, I die. But God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. We find that Jacob comes now to the end of his life. We find here that this is almost an adoption. Notice what he says there, that he says, let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. He said, I want these boys to understand that they are my grandchildren. They might have been born in a different country. Their mother might not have been of the same genetic line as we are. Their mother might not have had the advantage of being taught about the Jehovah God of Israel from her birth on up. But I want these boys to understand that they are my grandsons. And he said, I want them to understand who my God is. Look at verse 15 and 16 again. The God which fed me all my life long unto this day. I serve a God that cares about my needs day by day. Verse 16, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. Down in verse 22, he says, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and my bow. The God who gave me victories. This is the God who is blessing you today. While I might be giving you some words, understand that I am here because God fed me, God redeemed me, and God has given me the victory day by day. It's interesting, the word is blessed. The word blessed is the same word we use for eulogy today in the New Testament. Today we use that to commemorate the life of someone who has died. We have a eulogy and we talk about their life and their accomplishments and that. But here he's using it in a different way. He's using it to foretell in their life. Instead of looking back, he's looking forward with that. We see a couple of things about Jacob. Jacob worshipped God. In verse 21 again, when he was dying and worshipped. He said, before whom my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, did walk, which God did, the God which fed me all the days of my life. He worshipped God for his provision, for his protection. He worshipped God. He understood. And what is worship? Worship is worth, giving God his worth. We can put worth-ship, if you will, there. Acknowledge the worth of God. I'm afraid that we have so come in society where we have almost everything that we need, we believe. But we're like the church at Laodicea sometimes. Don't you know that you're wretched and poor and naked and blind? Because we think the material things of this world can satisfy. But we see that Jacob understood the worth of God. He understood it was God who redeemed him. It was God who provided for him. It's God that has protected him all the days of his life. A couple thoughts. Don't let the years fade your memory of all the good things God has done for you. Don't let the years fade your memory of all the good things God has done for you. I'm 62 years old. My memory's not always what it should be. I don't know what yours is like. But sometimes I have to, you know, search back there and dig back there to find some things that should be front and center of my mind, of the good things that God has done for me. But sometimes we get so wrapped up in the focus of today that those good things of the past, we forget to acknowledge God for. Kirk was talking in Sunday school about the day of our salvation. The time, the place. Some of us can't remember. I can't remember the exact date when I was saved, but I know the place. I know the event. I can take you to the little white church building out in the country where I was saved. Don't forget all the blessings that God has given you. The way God provided for you. I don't know how many times in my life and in our married life and growing up and raising our children that we did not have the provision that we need and God miraculously provided that needs might be met for ourselves and for our family. Don't forget that. But a second thought we have to remember is, don't come to believe you somehow deserve the blessings of God. Don't come to believe we deserve it, because we don't. We receive the blessings of God through His grace and through His Son, Jesus Christ. God does not owe us anything. God does not owe us to live in a country like Canada. God is not indebted to us that He allows us to live in a place that we're as prosperous as we are. God is not indebted to us that He allows us to live in a place where we can worship freely as we please in this country. That's not a debt God owes to us. It's of His grace we have all those things. Don't come to believe you somehow deserve the blessings of God. Little thought just at the end of that. He worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. It's interesting. Sometime do a study, if you would, about the staff or the rod in the Bible. They mostly refer pretty much to the same thing. A walking stick. The staff tells us one thing. He was still a pilgrim making a journey. He had a staff in his hand. His journey wasn't quite over, but he's still on a journey. The other thing that staff tells us is that the staff speaks of authority. When Moses was called in the Midian desert to come and to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, he said, I'm not talented, I don't have ability, and I don't know all this, and all these excuses. And God asked him one question, what is that in thine hand? He said, oh, a staff. And we know that he cast it down, became a serpent, and picked it up again, and became a staff again. And that staff was the symbol of God's authority as he went down and stood before Egypt, as the Red Sea was parted, as he came, as water came from the rock. It was that staff, the authority of God. You see, Jacob, by the authority of God, passed the blessing down to the next generation. We have to understand, this isn't something that we dream up ourselves. That we teach the next generation, that we show them how to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that we teach them right from wrong. We teach them the principles and precepts from the Word of God. We guide them, we lead them, we nurture them, we protect them as they grow. Why we do that? Under the authority of God. We just heard this morning in Sunday school about a family in Norway that their children were taken away from them because they disciplined their children. That day may come here. But we have to understand, we have the authority of God to teach and train our children to follow Him. We have that authority. You know, Jacob made some hard choices. There were two boys, Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh is the older. But God said, you know what? I mean, Jacob said, God has made a choice. And we make the, that he said, I'm going to set Ephraim before Manasseh. Now we see that if anybody understood that, Jacob should have said me. Because that's what he did in Jacob's life. Because Jacob was second born, not first born. And God made the choice to set Jacob before Esau. Made some hard choices. We see a third thought here is Joseph believed by faith. In verse 22. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Jacob believed by faith. Now Joseph believed by faith. Now Jacob was taken down and buried in Israel. But Joseph, the next generation, died and was embalmed in Egypt. But he said, you know, I might have lived and died in Egypt, but I want my bones to be taken back and buried in my country. Because Egypt is not his country. Egypt was a place he was sojourning. Egypt was a place he was a pilgrim. Why could Joseph believe that his people would not stay in Egypt forever and just be assimilated into the country? Why could he believe one day there would be an exodus? He could not see down through the generations, down to Moses and to all those events. He couldn't see that with his mind's eye. But by faith, he believed that. And a lot of times we look at ourselves and say, well, Pastor, you don't understand all the things that have happened to me. You don't understand all the bad things. You know, I might not, but I'll tell you what, Joseph could have. Joseph rejected by his family. His own brothers wanted to murder him. His brothers, instead of murdering him, took his coat, smeared blood on it, and told his father he was dead and sold him to Midian traders who went down to Egypt and sold him as a slave in Egypt. He did his very best. He was sold into Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife set her eyes on him and lied about him and got him thrown in prison. For most of us, we'd have been done by then. Said, that's it. In prison, he rose to the top. And he had two men there that he told what their dreams meant. And the one who was promoted back into Pharaoh's household said, he said, I'll remember you, I won't forget you. And then he got there and forgot all about Joseph. Easy to get bitter, wouldn't it? Then Pharaoh had some dreams, and of course, oh, I remember Joseph. Let's get him out of prison, clean him up, bring him up here. You see, if anybody had a right to get bitter, it was Joseph. See, circumstances don't make our character. Circumstances reveal our character. In spite of his circumstances, in spite of living in a heathen land where he worked with the heathen all of the time, he believed the children of Israel would leave Egypt in God's time. It wouldn't be his lifetime. Even though he didn't see it, he believed it. Folks, there's some things by faith we have to trust God for. God has made some promises in his word. And God has promised he is going to be faithful. You say, but I haven't seen any results yet. That is not relevant. God said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be faithful. And we need to wait on God. You know, sometimes we do not see the results of our prayer, the results of our intercession, the results, the fulfillment of God's promises until a generation down the road. We don't see it with our physical eyes, but we can, like Joseph, say, you know, with my spiritual heart and my mind, I know God has promised. I know God will do it. I know God will be faithful. Why was their faith generational? Four generations. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Each man was not perfect. Each one had their flaws. But each man made right choices that drew them closer to God. We look through their life. Character studies in the Bible are interesting. Look through their life and look through the life of Abraham and the progress that he made. Look through the life of Isaac and the progress, and Jacob, and then Joseph. You know, it's more about the direction you're going than where you are today. I said that at the beginning. What direction are you headed in? What choices have you made to direct your life that your life might more honor and glorify God tomorrow than it does today? What choices have you made that you might be an influence on that next generation? What choices have you made that you might look, that God, while it will not be recorded in the Bible, in the books and the halls of heaven, it will be recorded by faith, and they'll put your name in there, did this. Each man directed and trained the next generation by their words, their life, and their attitude. It won't take time. We can go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we see there that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses tells of training the next generation in the home, in our life, day by day, as they walk with you, training the next generation. Generations of faith. You know, it said that any church is one generation away from extinction. Any church is one generation away from extinction. I wonder if the future of this church depended upon you. You say, well, my children are grown. Well, what about the children here in this church, the young people here in this church today? They're looking at you. They're watching you. What about your grandchildren? Are you investing in your grandchildren? Do your grandchildren know that you love God, you serve God, and you want them to love God as you do? The next generation. What will history write about the next generation of First Baptist Church in Mount Pearl, Newfoundland? If it were up to you and you alone, as it was to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, if it were up to you, what would be the story of the next generation? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Our heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. Their heads bowed and eyes closed.